conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Life, Liberty, and Opportunity, a brand new political podcast that breaks down policy and analyzes current events from a conservative slash libertarian perspective. That means on the right-left spectrum, I fall pretty far right, and on the libertarian-authoritarian spectrum, I am pretty far libertarian. This is my first episode podcasting, so I figured I would start off pretty simple. Hopefully in future episodes I can get to more policy stuff, but I figured today, since we are, 5 days away from the election? 4 days, sorry, 4 days away from the midterm elections, I would do a quick breakdown. So you might be wondering how to keep track of the most competitive races and make your solid predictions, but fear not, because I have done that work for you. There are 470 congressional races for you to watch, but in order to follow along with the midterms, you don't actually have to pay attention to all 470. So I've researched and broken down some of the important races into some categories so that you can know which races are important and who's favored. I guess we'll start off with the House of Representatives. Historically, midterm elections, the president's party loses pretty badly. They lose an average of 29 seats during midterm elections. Currently, the Democrats only need to flip 23 seats in order to take back control of the House. So, for Democrats, 23 is the magic number. For this analysis, I'm obviously not going to look at all of the races, because that would be pretty insane. So, instead, I'm only going to look at the important races, competitive races, races that are projected to flip, races that are that could flip. So we'll start off with the 42 races that are tied or likely to flip. There are 42 races in the House right now that are tied or likely to flip. And by flip, I mean that the controlling party will change. The incumbent party will lose. So, first off, we're going to start off looking at what would happen if all the polls were correct. Of course, this isn't going to be the case. There's always going to be cases where Republicans win Democrat-favored seats and Democrats win Republican-favored seats. But it is important to look at the polls to see what would happen. If the polls show that all the polls were correct, what would the House look like? So right now there are 24 seats that are projected to flip Democrat. Those would be seats that Republicans control now that the Democrats are actually projected to win, 24 of those. There are 2 seats where Republicans are projected to flip. That means seats that the Democrats now control that the Republicans are projected to win. And there are also 16 virtual ties. That means that are too close to call, polls are basically 50-50, or within the margin of error. So in this scenario, if all these polls were correct, Democrats would gain 22 seats, and there would be 16 seats that are too close to call. That's the Democrats win 24 seats, that's plus 24 for the Democrats, the Republicans win 2. So Democrats win a net gain of plus 22, and then 16 races that are too close to call. That would mean that the Republicans would have to win all 16 virtual ties in order to keep the House. Remember, Democrats have to flip 23 seats in order to win back control of the House. So if the Democrats win even one of those virtual ties in a scenario where all the polls were correct, then if Republicans win all 16, they keep the House. If the Democrats win even one of those, and they take control back of the House. I'm going to just talk about the Democrat flips pretty quick. There are 24 of them, as I said before. A lot of them are in blue states. There are 4 seats projected to flip Democrat in California, 4 seats projected to flip Democrat in New Jersey, 4 in Pennsylvania. So I'm not going to go through all of the names of the people in these races, the Democrats and Republicans in these 24 Democrat flip districts. But if you're curious about anyone specifically, Feel free to let me know, because as far as I'm aware, you can actually leave responses to these podcasts on the Anchor app. So there are some, like, as I said before, there are some specific states that are projected to go pretty blue. It's also a Florida seat, two Iowa seats, Kansas, a Kentucky, Maine, Michigan, two Minnesotas, Virginia, a Colorado, and an Arizona seat. That should be all 24 seats that are projected to flip into Democrats. Now, there are two seats that are projected to flip Republican. Since there are only two, I will specify that it is Minnesota's 8th district and Pennsylvania's 14th district projected to flip to Republican seats. That means Democrats now control both of those districts, but Republicans are projected to win those. Then there are 16 virtual ties. California's 39th, California's 48th, Florida's 15th, Florida's 26th, Illinois's 6th, Kansas 2nd, Michigan's 8th, Minnesota's 1st, New Mexico's 2nd, New York's 19th and 22nd, North Carolina's 9th, Pennsylvania's 4th, Texas 7th, Virginia's 5th, and Washington's 8th. Those are 16 seats that are around projected 50-50, that are too close to call who's going to win one of those seats. New York's 22nd district is the district that I am voting in. That is incumbent Claudia Tenney versus challenger Anthony Brindisi. Now, keep in mind, in all 16 of these virtual tie states, Republicans are the incumbents right now. That means Republicans can't flip any of these. These are all seats that Republicans are trying to defend, which is basically the theme of the House in this midterms, is the Republicans are trying to defend, and the Democrats are trying to, they're on the offensive, trying to flip as many as possible, while the Republicans are trying to not let the Democrats flip as many as possible. The way you know this is because there are 52 total seats that the Democrats could possibly flip. 52 opportunities to flip for the Democrats, and only 4 for the Republicans. And those include the 24 and the 2 that we are currently talking about right now, and the 16 virtual ties. So as I said, there are 52 possible opportunities for the Democrats to flip. 24 of those, the Democrats are favored. We already talked about those. 16 of those are virtual ties. So we're going to get to the others in a little bit. I want to break down the flips for a second. Specifically the Democratic flip. So I'm going to break down the 24 seats that the Democrats could possibly flip. So I'm going to put them into two categories. There are 17 of those 24 seats that are pretty solid Democrat flips. The Democrats are projected to win by a lot, so they will most likely take those. The other 7 are leaning towards Democratic flips. That means that while they are projected to win, it's not by a ton. It's probably by between 2-3 points for a lot of these. That would be California's 25th district, California's 45th district, Iowa's 3rd, Kentucky's 6th, Maine's 2nd, and then New Jersey's 3rd and 7th. Those 7 seats are projected to win for the Democrats, but they're not runaway districts. So those are opportunities where the Republicans could possibly make a stand. So those are some districts to look out for. The 16 toss-ups are obviously the ones that are the ones to look at the most, but those 7 are pretty important to look at as well, to see if Republicans can make a stand in any of those 7 districts. So now I think we need to break down some of the seats that are not actually projected to flip, where the incumbent party is projected to stay in power, but they could easily flip. I mean, the incumbent's only favored by a point, 2 points, maybe 3. Let's first talk about the seats that the Democrats could win that are currently leaning Republican. So these are the other 12 seats that Democrats have opportunities to flip. That would be 24 seats that they're favored to flip, 16 virtual ties, and 12 seats that the Democrats could win but are not favored to. That's how I got the 52 opportunities for Democrats earlier. So there are 12 of those. Alaska's at large, Georgia's 6th, Illinois is 12th and 13th, Montana's at large, New York's 24th, North Carolina's 2nd, Pennsylvania's 10th, Texas's 32nd district, Utah's 4th, and then Virginia's 2nd and 7th districts. Those are all seats that currently the Republicans have, that currently the Republicans are favored to keep, but not by a lot. There are two seats that the Republicans could win that currently lean Democrat. That would be Arizona's 1st district and Nevada's 3rd district, where the Democrats are favored to keep power, but only by slightly. That's how I got the four opportunities for Republicans to flip. Two seats where they're favored to flip, and these two seats that aren't favored to flip but could. So, in conclusion for the House, it seems pretty clear that the Democrats will take back the House. I would personally predict that they would gain anywhere from 23 to 33 seats. As a conservative, as someone who votes with the Republicans, Democrats winning the House would be detrimental to my personal policy agenda, to the Trump agenda, but also keep in mind that anything from a Democrat, the Democrats gaining 23 to 29 seats isn't too awful if you compare it to historical midterm elections. Historically, the party not in power, which in this case would be the Democrats, usually flip 29 seats on average. But this election definitely favors the Democrats, just as most midterms favor the party that isn't in power. I talked earlier how the Democrats have 52 opportunities to flip seats, while the Republicans have only 4. And of course, we can't forget that other races, besides the 56th that I just broke down, besides those, other races could have upsets, you know, crazy things happen, even if they are unlikely. But this is a defensive struggle for the Republicans, since they are in power, and their goal is to defend as many seats as possible. So let's move on to the Senate. So I apologize that this is not as much of an opinion. I know a lot of people listen to podcasts like to hear the conservative libertarian opinion, but I figured I'd start off pretty simple. But in future podcasts, I hope to be able to break down more policy, give more opinion, break down the current political culture. That would be a huge thing in future podcasts. But I figured I'd start off simple, and since it's 4 days before the midterm elections, let's break those down. So let's keep going. Let's move on to the Senate. So there are 100 seats in the Senate total. The Democrats have 23 seats that are not up for election, and the Republicans have 42 seats that are not up for election. So this is a very favorable map for the Republicans, right? So there are tons of opportunities for the Republicans to flip seats. There are tons of Democrats that are up for re-election, and not a lot for the Republicans. So there are 26, I believe, yes, 26 Democrats that are up for re-election, and only 9 Republicans. So theoretically, with such a great Senate map for the Republicans, they should be able to pretty easily gain like 8, 9, 10 seats, which isn't going to happen. And we'll talk about that as we move on. So out of the seats that are up for election, 16 of those are seats where the Democrat currently is the incumbent, and they're pretty safe. They aren't facing a tough challenger. They're considered safe. They're projected to win by a decent amount. That would be Angus King, Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein. Bernie Sanders is running as an independent, but we're going to consider him a Democrat, same as Angus King. What some other notable ones? Mazie Hirono is projected to keep her seat in Hawaii. Elizabeth Warren, and a couple others, right? Kirsten Gillibrand in my own state of New York. Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate, her running mate. So those are some of the notable ones. There are 16 total that the Democrats control now that are up for election and that are pretty safe for the Democrats to keep. There are 4 seats that the Republicans have that are pretty safe for them. That would be Roger Wick, Deb Fischer, John Barrasso, and then Mitt Romney in Utah. So Orrin Hatch is currently the senator in Utah. He announced that he is not running for re-election, so Mitt Romney has jumped in. Mitt Romney should be able to win in Utah. That leaves 15 races left between this. There are the seats that are not up for election, the seats that are safe for the incumbent, and at least 15 left. These are competitive races that are not safe for either party. So before taking into account these 15 races, the Senate is 46-39 in favor of the Republicans. This means that if the Republicans can win only four of these competitive races, the Senate will be 50-50, which is favorable for the Republicans since Vice President Pence is the tiebreaker. So if the Republicans win five of these, they'll have 51 seats and so on. This means the Democrats would have to win 12 of these close races in order to take control of the Senate. Two names that are notable in these competitive races are Marsha Blackburn and Martha McSally, who are running for Bob Corker and Jeff Flake seats, respectively. Because Corker and Flake, if you recall, are two Republicans who aren't on the Trump train, so have decided to not run for re-election. Marsha Blackburn is running for Corker's Tennessee seat, and McSally is running for Jeff Flake's Arizona seat. So let's talk about the 15 elections that are competitive, and therefore are not 100% safe for either party. There is, let's just break it down. Let's not go through them. I'm just going to make my predictions on them. All right? Republican wins. Cindy Hyde-Smith is going to win, I would predict. In Nevada, Dean Heller. In Tennessee, I think Marsha Blackburn's going to win. In Texas, Ted Cruz, I think, is going to destroy Beto O'Rourke. Now, Beto O'Rourke is the hip, cool Democrat that all Democrats are falling in love with. I think he's going to get absolutely destroyed in Texas. But that's considered a competitive race. That race was tied for a while. Or Ted Cruz was only up by like a point or two for a while, but I don't think it's going to be as close as that when it comes to election night. And then North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp is the Democratic senator incumbent of North Dakota, and I think she's going to lose to Kevin Cramer. She's actually projected to lose to Kevin Cramer, so that's a flip in the Senate for Republicans. Democrats, Joe Manchin is going to keep his seat. Tammy Baldwin is going to keep her seat. Sherrod Brown, Bob Menendez, John Tester, and Tina Smith all should keep their seats. One interesting one that I originally projected for the Democrats, it was Joe Donnelly in Indiana is the incumbent Democrat who is going against Mike Braun. That was pretty heavily favored Democrat for a while, but as I have learned in the past couple days, Mike Braun is catching up to a point where this seat could have gone from safe or likely for the Democrats to lean Democrat or possibly even a toss-up. If I had to put money on it, I'd still say Donnelly keeps his seat, but that's an interesting race to look out for. So let's just go with the fact that Joe Donnelly wins. That's what I would predict. So I predict 7 wins for the Democrats, 5 wins for the Republicans, and there are 3 that are too close to call. I will make my predictions on them, but they're pretty close. So that would be in Arizona, Martha McSally versus Kyrsten Sinema. In Florida, that would be Bill Nelson versus Rick Scott. And in Missouri, that would be Claire McCaskill versus Josh Hawley. Those are 3 really close races, so now I'm going to make my predictions on those. I think Martha McSally is going to pull it out in Arizona and beat Sinema. Give that to the Republicans. In Florida, I think Bill Nelson's going to squeak it out for the Democrats. Bill Nelson's the current Democratic senator of Florida, and he's going against Rick Scott, the former governor of Florida. That one's been neck and neck since the beginning. I would, if I had to bet on it, I'd say Nelson, but again, all 3 of these are super close, ones to look out for on election night. And finally, Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley, I would probably put my money on Josh Hawley winning that, but again, that's really close. So if my predictions are correct, the Senate will be 51 Republicans, 46 Democrats, and 3-2 close to calls. If my two close to call predictions are correct, the Republicans will have 53 seats to the Democrats 47. But overall, the Republicans currently have 51 seats, and I think they'll be able to pick up between 2 to 4 seats. Well, 2 to 3 seats, I think. 4 will be pretty hard for Republicans to pull out, but I think they could do it. Overall, my predictions would be that the Republicans gain 2 or 3 seats. So they would have 53 or 54 seats. That is my election breakdown. Thank you all for tuning into the first episode of Life, Liberty, and Opportunity, a brand new podcast that breaks down policy, which we did not get to today since it's the first episode. Again, I figured I'd start off simple. Next episode, I'll probably get to some policy. Break down, analyze some current events, which is kind of what I did today. Not even as much. Today, I kind of just went through my midterm election guide. For those who want to be able to follow along with the midterms, but aren't really sure where to start off. So, next episode, we'll get to some policy, get to some current events, but thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Matthew Rosen. This is Life, Liberty, and Opportunity. It's going to be a brand new political show that takes the conservative libertarian perspective. So, thanks so much, and I will see you next episode.